I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. We all know it's a good thing to protect and even improve natural resources like soil, water, and habitat. And we also know that on the Central Coast, we're surrounded by ranch and farmland that affects these resources. You may be a rancher or a farmer. You might simply own a large parcel of land. Chances are greater that you're a neighbor of such a parcel or you drive by land like this on your way to work. In any case, we and our resources are all affected by activity that takes place on the land around us. I'm here today with two people who are involved in the stewardship of those resources and in helping others toward conservation and stewardship. Laura Kelsey Edwards is the executive director of the Upper Salinas Las Tablas Conservation District. And George Work is a rancher, owner of the 12,000-acre Work Ranch outside of Paso Robles. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you. And now we are here to talk about the RCD itself, but also about an oak woodland management workshop that's coming up. And we'll go into a little bit of detail about that later on. But just briefly, can you touch on that workshop and tell us when and where it is?
Well, managing oak woodlands is something that's very near and dear to many people's hearts in this region with the beautiful oaks that we have. This workshop will be out at a third generation range called Las Tablas Ranch in Paso Robles on the 9th of May, which is next Wednesday.
This workshop is going to be offered through the RCD. I'd like to learn a little bit about what a resource conservation district is and what it offers to people who own land locally. And we'll talk about with you in just a moment, George, your work on your land and how you've worked with the RCD. But first of all, why don't you give me a little bit of background, Laura, on what is the RCD and what does it do?
It's a very good question and one that I get asked a lot as people blankly stare when I announce what we do and who we are. We've been around for 60 years. In California, there are over 90 conservation districts or RCDs. And what we do is protect natural resources. We're a soil, water, natural resource conservation service. So we'll work with landowners of any size and variety, agricultural, rural, urban, and we will help them implement best management practices or BMPs to have very productive and ecologically sustainable landscapes that take us into the future.
What are some of the kinds of things that you do with, say, an urban landowner? Because I imagine you as mostly working with people like George who are ranch owners. But what would you do with somebody who lives in an urban area?
Well, one popular thing that's coming up right now is low-impact development, or LID. And LID is actually coming down as a regulatory management method starting maybe around September of this year in San Luis Obispo County. It mostly deals with how you capture rainwater. So we'll come in and we'll help landowners to develop rain garden plans, water catchment plans, water reuse plans in an urban setting to help them capture some of that rainwater, maximize it on their property, get it back into the groundwater, and also help them use it in energy efficient ways on their property. So that's one way we can help them.
What are some of the most common issues that landowners face when it comes to understanding how to meet regulation or just simply care for the land in a way that's better for all of us?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. It's a tricky one because what we find time and time again is that there is no one-size-fits-all answer or question that comes our way. I think people really want to do the best that they can in the time that they have to work on their land. Some people do it for a living, like our agricultural sector. Others do it for hobby. So we try to make our best management practices very user-friendly so that it can be scaled to the level that they need it. You know, if it's a very highly productive vineyard, they're going to go to a really high scale to get quality erosion control stabilization, quality water, going to drip irrigation, really efficient efficient systems that maximize production but minimize impact. And then to small landowners who even just lease property, and we'll work with both parties, the lessee and the leasor, and we will help them try to figure out solutions to issues like if trees are starting to fall into a stream and it's going to impact their privacy or whatever, we can come in and work with all budget levels.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can imagine that cover cropping is something that is beneficial as far as avoiding erosion, but also feeding the soil. But I'm wondering, like from a farmer and rancher perspective, George, my understanding is that a lot of farmers don't like to cover crop because we've got to get that next crop in there because that's going to affect my bottom line. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, it depends on, like you say, what crops are being grown, what's available for moisture, and what your whole program is. And it's basically whether it's a crop or even on the rangeland. The important thing is some kind of cover on the soil. The soil can be just, you know, straw cover. It can be a live cover. It can be, is in with a cover crop. And I think the important thing is the health of the soil is determined by the amount of cover, because that's what, you know, that's the food source for the bugs, and it protects from erosion. Soil is a living organism, basically. There's so much life. There's much more life beneath the soil than there is above it. We know more about our universe than we do about what's under our feet. That's a proven fact. And, it's an exciting time because we are learning a lot more about it, but there's a long, long ways to go. But the soil needs to be covered. Now, how you do that is determined by the crops and what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. Now, Laura, I can imagine that you receive different kinds of responses from the landowners that you work with. And one response may be, well, I can't afford that. How do you work with landowners who are looking at the bottom line? This is what I can afford. This is what I'm trying to do to make a living on my land. When you come up with a great idea that's, you know, great for the environment, but it might be harder for the farmer or the rancher to implement such a program.
Well, there are many approaches to that. One is, you know, sometimes we'll get together with all of the other resource management organizations and groups in the area, and we'll develop a priority plan, and we'll identify a certain resource that needs to be worked on and improved, and we'll pool resources together. We'll write grants together. So any private property owners that may be in that area, you know, some of those projects can be covered in those grants, and sometimes there's a small map required, but that's one of the ways that we work on our priority resource projects. Other landowners might come to us and say, oh gosh, I have this flooding issue, and ever since this creek was straightened, I've just received so much flooding, and it just keeps coming further and further up toward my home, and, you know, what can I do? And sometimes we have to figure out ways to get the right permits, and we do coordinate those for them. I think that's one thing that gets the deer in the headlights stare is, oh gosh, I got to work with Fish and Wildlife, I've got to work with Fish and Game, I've got to work with NOAA Fisheries and the county, and sometimes the Coastal Commission. And it can be very scary for a landowner, and it can put them in the point of, oh, forget it, I'm not going to do anything. So we can come in, we have relationships, even though we're non-regulatory. We can work with those organizations, get the permits the landowner needs. We offer discounted technical services so that we can help them get the professional services they need, whether it's engineering or biological help or whatever. And usually they're willing to pay something. If they can't afford the entire ticket, sometimes we'll try to get partners involved. If it's an issue where the county has a vested interest in making sure that creek, for example, is flowing better, sometimes they'll come in and they'll partner with us and help us get the job done. Or if it's in a city boundary, we can do that with a city or Fish and Wildlife or one of the other agencies. So we're sort of the middle person that brings all of those people to the table to try to accomplish a goal.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guests are Laura Kelsey Edwards. She's the executive director of the Upper Salinas Las Tablas Conservation District, and also rancher George Work, who's the owner of the Work Ranch outside of Paso Robles. And we're talking about resource conservation districts and what they do. And we have several in our listening area, from Salinas down to Ventura. The upper Salinas, Las Tablas, is just one, but you recently met with some of the others in the area. And my understanding is that if somebody wants to get help with their land, they can just go to their local RCD and ask. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct. We are here, we are established as local government, so we're all overseen. Our board members are our local landowners, so we're for landowners by landowners, and that makes it really easy for us to get in touch with the landowners and understand where they're coming from, because we hear about the issues all of the time. And you're right, there are several RCDs in this Central Coast region. There are over 90 in the state of California.
Now, let's talk about this Oak Woodland Management Workshop that's coming up. It's on May 9th. It's in Paso Robles. I have listed the Bonheim Ranch, but is that changed?
It is at the Bonheim Ranch. Okay. It's also called the Las Tablas Ranch.
Okay.
It dates back three generations, and I know George and I were talking on the outside here that the work ranch used to supply the Bonheims with cattle at one point in time.
Really? Mike's grandfather was a cattle buyer as well as a rancher, and he bought cattle from us for many years.
So you have a relationship with mm-hmm. these folks. And how are you going to be involved in this Oak Woodland Management Workshop?
Well, I think I'm just going to attend. I've enjoyed visiting with Mike. We share a lot of the same values from the standpoint of wildlife is an important part of our operation also. And Mike has done a lot of neat things out there, and I'm always anxious to see what the latest one is. But no, my involvement is going to be as a learner.
But you do have ranchers and farmers who help participate in your workshop by presenting to their cohorts.
Yes, we do, because there's no better way to learn sometimes than to talk to people in your own trade and kick the tires on a real working ranch, so to speak. We had a fall version in November of this workshop because this rancher wanted to illustrate the difference in management techniques you use on a range in the fall versus in the spring. So this is our part two. Even if you didn't come to the first one, you should certainly come to this one. We are going to be focusing on managing oaks as a resource, and we will have the Air Quality Control Board and Cal Fire, because sometimes fire is used as a management tool, and we'll be looking at areas of regeneration of oaks that have been managed and areas that are kind of being targeted for management and why. And it just sort of demystifies some of the aspects of ranching that is a little bit hard for us to imagine when I think of the quarter acre that I manage at home versus the 8,000 acres that a rancher could be managing or more. It's just staggering what they have to think about as they process these places. And Mike is a one-man show. He's managing that whole place on his own. So I think we'll be excited to hear from Rob Rutherford at Cal Poly. He's going to talk a lot about ecological or holistic range management, which is a technique that George employs a lot on his ranch. And we'll be hearing from NRCS and University Extension. We'll have some rangeland specialists there.
Tell me, George, why do you have to manage oak woodland on your land? Can't you just leave them there? What is there to manage?
That is the management decision, and it has very predictable results. All land does, and that's a huge issue in some of the Southwest as it gets drier. In the wetter climates, it's not as critical, but no management or rest, continual rest, which we've done to hundreds of thousands of acres all over the West, are very, very detrimental to the land, and they're finally learning that after 20, 30, 40. Some of the land's been rested for close to 100 years now in our national parks, and it's a disaster. So the reason you manage it is to keep it healthy. The soil life, the management of the wildlife certainly is critical. Wildlife is a tremendous resource for most ranchers, especially the large ranchers, because it's something they have, and it's an easy way to develop a program that will bring in some extra money in addition to, the normal raising beef for that type of thing.
What are some of the things that you do to manage your oak woodland?
Well, probably one of the big thing is we're conscious of the rest periods necessary for the grass and the understory. We have used fire. I would say probably the management of the grazing animal is the biggest thing. And one of the other things that I guess I could mention, it's as far as the oak woodland or the oak regeneration, which people are interested in, came about with our hunting program, was the wild pig. And the wild pig has, through its process of rooting, suppresses the annual grasses in the springtime, which they are, there's something very, I think it's an allelopathic, in other words, it's a chemical thing that these exotic annual grasses put out that are very detrimental to all our native species. And so where the pigs reduce that annual vegetation, we have a tremendous influx, if you have a seed source left, tremendous influx of native plants. And just prior to our workshop, I had a botanist identify it in one area, which was 100. He measured it, actually. You know how scientists are. 150 square feet. He found 23 native species in a spot 10 by 15. That's almost unheard of in the oak woodland area now. Almost all of it is exotic annual grasses that were brought in during the mission times. And so, they have so suppressed all our other native vegetation, including the oaks.
So how do you encourage the pigs to come and root around under your oaks?
Well, you actually plant some barley for them or something to attract them, you know. And then with our hunting program, we try to manage that so that we always leave plenty for reproduction and so forth. Because, see, while they're doing this ecological service, they're providing some cash income as well. See, they're doing the service for free, but yet they are providing income for the ranch, which is a win-win all the way around. Mm-hmm. But the average person, especially the average person that's interested in ecology, has been told that the pigs are the destroyer of the oak woodland. And so there's where you get into the problems, and that's not a pig problem or an ecological problem, is it? It's what I call a people problem and lack of communication. And that's why I'm here. I really believe that we need to tell our story and listen to the other stories, you know, from the concerns of people. And a lot of them are very legitimate, but they've been fed the wrong information.
And that's where the RCD comes in.
We try to help
disseminate such information.
Well, there's so many different ways a resource can be managed. And, you know, we work with biodynamic farmers. We work with organic farmers. We work with conventional farmers. And we just try to work with people where they are and try to take it from there and bring all the different perspectives together, because I think many minds make great talk and great ideas come together. So we do try to facilitate the coming together of all the different perspectives.
Okay. Well, tell me one more time where and when this Oak Woodland Management Workshop is, who it's for, and then tell me how someone can get in touch with the RCD.
Yes. So this Oak Woodland Management Workshop is going to be held at the Los Tablas Ranch, also known as the Bonheim Ranch, in Paso Robles on May 9th from 8 to 2:30. It is $25, and that includes lunch. You can register for the course by contacting our organization, which is, I'll give the phone number if that's okay.
Sure.
It's 805-434-0396, extension 5. Or you could check out our website at www.us-ltrcd.org, and we'll sign you up.
And if you want to get a hold of your local RCD, then you would just probably go on and Google RCD in the name of your community, and I'm sure you would get everything you wanted to know.
Right. Resource Conservation District. You can Google that, and we'll all pop up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Laura Kelsey Edwards of the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Conservation District, and also rancher George Work. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much for having us.